Friends, before we turn to today's gospel, let me begin with something I have carried for some time. A few years ago, I remember someone visiting a church for the first time. They stood quietly at the back. They did not know anyone. They were unsure of what to expect. No one said anything unkind. No one pushed them away. Nothing obvious went wrong. Afterwards, they said something that had stayed with me. I wasn't made to feel unwelcome, but I also didn't feel seen. That sentence carries something important. It is possible to be present in a place and still not to be received. It is possible to be surrounded by people and still feel invisible. It raises a question we cannot avoid. If someone can enter a church and not feel truly seen, what does that say about our understanding of welcome? Not as words, but as a posture of the heart. My friends, we are in Matthew chapter 10. Before we go further, it is worth remembering where we have come from in Matthew's gospel. Matthew has been carefully showing us who Jesus is. First, Jesus goes up the mountain and teaches his disciples in what we know as the Sermon on the Mount. There he describes what life in God's kingdom looks like. Then, as he comes down the mountain, he put those words into action. He heals the sick, calms the storms, forgives sins, calls the ordinary people to follow him, and shows compassion to those whom others overlook. Now, in chapter 10, there is a significant change. Jesus is no longer simply gathering disciples around himself. He is sending them out. He prepares them for the reality of discipleship. It will not always be easy. There will be opposition, misunderstanding, and a cause to following him. My friends, last Sunday we heard Jesus remind us that even good things must never quietly take the place of God at the center of our lives. Last week left us with a simple but searching question. What comes first in my life? What comes first in my life? That question has not gone away. It is still with us. Today, it comes back in a different form. Jesus is now gives us one of the most beautiful and at the same time searching words in the gospel. Welcome. The word welcome is repeated throughout these final verses in today's gospel reading. Almost as if Jesus wants his disciples never to forget that receiving his people is inseparable from receiving him. However, Jesus uses it in a way that is far deeper than how we usually use it. Please stay with me. Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. Whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. We hear that word, my friends, often in church life. We say it at the door. We print it on notices. We speak it to visitors, and it is right that we do so. However, when Jesus speaks of welcome here, he is not talking about politeness or church manners. He is speaking about something far more serious. He is saying that when his disciples are received in his name, something of God himself as being encountered. That is only possible because of what we believe about Jesus Christ. That in him, God has truly come near. Not as an idea or a symbol, but in real human life. This is what the church calls the incarnation. God with us, God among us, God for us. My friends, Matthew had shown us this from the very beginning. Jesus is introduced as Emmanuel. If you remember, we read this in Matthew chapter 1 verses 23. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, near the end of his teaching to the disciple, he reminds them that he is still with them. Present in those who go in his name. If that is true, it changes how we understand every encounter in life. You cannot separate how you treat people in his name from how you receive Christ himself. My friends, if we pause there, we begin to feel both the beauty and the weight of this. It means faith is not only what we believe in private. It is something that becomes visible in relationship and that leads us into something we need to sit with carefully. Because Jesus is also telling us that a life of faith will not always be welcome. Earlier in Matthew chapter 10, verses 14, he speaks about rejection and opposition. He says, whoever does not receive you or listen to your words. My friends, Jesus is realistic. He knows that not every door will open and not every heart will welcome the gospel. He is not being naive. He is speaking into a world where welcome is not guaranteed. Does that still speak to our own time? We live in a society where people can feel very quickly divided, where trust is fragile, and where it is easy to feel unseen or unheard. Small misunderstandings create distance between people. In that kind of world, welcome becomes more than a word, it becomes a witness. But I want to be honest with you, my friends. It is possible to speak about welcome in church and yet still struggle with it in practice. It is possible to say the right words to support the right things, to appear open and generous, and yet still find deep down that real welcome is harder than it sounds. Because real welcome is not just about who we allow into a space. It is about how we see one another, or we see another person. And my friends, if I tell you, that is more costly. It asks us to slow down, to listen, to let go of assumptions, to allow interruption, to receive someone fully, not partially. That is where the gospel challenges us. Jesus is not speaking about a program of welcome. He's speaking about a transformation of the heart. At this point, Paul in Romans helps us to go even deeper. He writes, "Do not let sin reign your mortal body, but present yourself to God." That phrase is vital, my friends, present yourself. I wrestled with this last week. It is the language of offering, of giving direction to your life, of placing yourself before God. Paul is very realistic here. He knows that human life is always being shaped by something. Shaped by something. We are always being formed by our anxieties, by the constant noise of our screens, by the grudges we chew on when we think no one is looking. So Paul says very simply, stop offering your energy to the things that diminish life and leave you empty. Offer yourself to God. Earlier in this chapter, in Romans 6, still we are there, Paul reminds us that we have died with Christ and we have been raised to new life. The new life now needs to be lived. Romans chapter 6 verses 4. When we bring today's gospel reading and our first reading from Romans together, something beautiful emerges. In Matthew, Jesus says, "When you welcome someone in my name, you welcome me." In Romans, Paul says, when you offer yourself to God, your whole life begins to change direction. My friends, discipleship is not just belief in Jesus. It is a life shaped by encounter with Jesus, and that encounter happens in two directions at once. We encounter Christ in prayer, in scripture, in worship, but we also encounter him in one another. That should not surprise us. Jesus told us, where two or three gather in my name, there am I among them. Matthew 18:20. The church exists to make the life of Christ visible in the world. That is the simple sentence, but it carries weight. Christian faith must become visible in how we live with one another, how we speak to one another, and how we receive one another, include the ordinary moments of life. Not only church gatherings, but homes, conversations, interruption, unexpected meetings. Jesus is not speaking about ideal, perfect communities here, my friends. Not at all. He is speaking about real people in real life. And he is saying, I am present there. Let me gently bring this closer to home, my friends. We know that what is it is to be welcomed. And we know what is it is to feel unseen. We know the difference between being acknowledged and being truly received. Jesus is saying something very simple but very deep here, my friends. Where you receive one another in my name, I am present. Where you give even the smallest act of kindness, heaven sees it. A cup of cold water, he says, will not be forgotten. In the kingdom of God, nothing done in love is ever small. Centuries ago, an early Christian father named John Chrysostom challenged his congregation on this very point. He told, "If you want to honor Christ's body, do not ignore him when he is naked. Do not honor him here in church with silken vestment while outside he is perishing from cold and nakedness. For he who said, 'This is my body,' is the same one who said, 'You saw me hungry and you gave me no food.'" This is from his homily on Matthew. Bishop Chrysostom understood exactly what Jesus is saying in Matthew. You cannot separate the Christ we worship at the altar from the Christ who you meets us in the vulnerable, the lonely, and the outsider of this. And this brings us toward the heart of what we are preparing for now, Holy Communion. Because here, everything we've been speaking about become visible. At this table, we are not only welcoming one another, we are being welcomed by Christ himself. This is the deepest truth of all. Before we ever reach out to God, God has already reached out to us in Christ. Before we ever say yes, my friends, to him, he has already said yes to us at the cross. This is why the Eucharist is not simply remembrance. It is encounter. It is grace made visible. Christ gives himself. Christ receives us. Christ forms us again. And we need to be honest. There is nothing in us that makes us worthy of this. There is nothing. There is nothing in us that makes us worthy of this. I was pondering on this last week and week before as well when I was preparing the sermon. And I was in tears, my friends. What's good in me that I deserve this? There is nothing. There is nothing make us worthy of this. We do not come here because we are good enough. We come because we are not. We come with mixed hearts. We come with divided love. We come with faith that is weak and love that is inconsistent. And still my friend, Christ welcomes us. Still he gives his life for us. Still he does not turn away. Still he goes to the cross. So the question is not, am I worthy? Because the answer is no. The question is, will I receive this grace that I do not deserve? If that is how Christ has dealt with us, not with distance or judgment, but with mercy, with the cross, with his body broken and his blood poured out, then we cannot treat others lightly. How can we stand at this table and speak of forgiveness and yet carry bitterness in our hearts? How can we receive mercy and still refuse mercy to others? How can we look at the cross where Christ gives everything for us and then turn away from someone because they are difficult or different or uncomfortable to be around? How can we ask for a comfortable Christ when we are called to a costly welcome? How can we refuse to see people clearly when we ourselves have been seen at our worst and still loved? And still loved. My friends, the truth is this. The people we struggle to welcome, please stay with me on this. I know that I have taken your time. The truth is this, my friend. The people we struggle to welcome are not strangers
to Christ.
Not strangers to Christ. They are the very ones he came for. Broken lives, wounded lives, confused lives, people just like you and me, carrying stories we may never fully understand, but still deeply known by God. We are not above them. We are standing with them, needing the same mercy, living by the same grace, clinging to the same cross. My friends, Christ welcomes you and me as we are. As we are. Not as we pretend to be or wish we were. That's the truth. As we are. And that is why we cannot stay the same. Those who have been received by mercy must learn to live mercifully. So friends, we come now to this table, not with perfection, not with confidence in ourselves, but with need, with honesty, with repentance, with openness. And in that place, my friends, Christ meets us. Amen.